I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
ESPN, and your man, Woody Massey.
What up?
The dynamic duo. We about to bring it to him, huh, Woody? We about to give it
to him. Oh, yeah. We're giving him a little switcheroo today. I'm sitting in the analyst seat.
It's peanut butter jelly time. You know, we got the dynamic duo here. Shout out to Nate and Coach Brandon Lundberg. We do miss you. We also want to give a big shout out to Brandon Lundberg, founder and owner of Football Scout 365 and analyst here at 5-Tool Sports with the new gig at Sports Info Solutions. For you guys who don't know anything about Sports Info Solutions, it's one of the leading research and analytics systems and programs out there. They work with ESPN, Yahoo, the NFL, you name it. So, you know, they're up there with Pro Football Reference, PFF, and all of those guys. So big shout out to Brandon. Again, our own making here moves. At 5-2 Sports, making moves. And he's still going to be with us every week, giving you the numbers, you know, giving you the nonsense.
For now.
All of it.
He's about to blow up.
About to blow up. So, look, I always joke, Woody, we got to use him. Now we got to give him the Derrick Henry treatment. We got to give him like 400 touches.
I thought you were going to say use him and abuse him.
Use him and abuse him.
Yeah,
wrap it and clap it.
That Jamal Anderson, Sean Alexander, Eddie George,
Jamal
treatment.
Lewis. Yeah, for sure. For sure. But look, man, we got a loaded show for you guys today. It's the dog days of the summer. You know, NFL training camp is just over a month away, but we're still working. Me and Woody, we put our heads together and we felt as though it was only right to bring you a show that presents some of the most dynamic and the best duos in NFL history. So, you excited for that, Woody?
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about the dynamic duos. There's a lot of dudes on the list that I think you pointed out best. Like, you have so many great memories of people, but there's very few duos that did it over time. Like, there's a lot of dudes I want to bring up, but they didn't do it as long as these dudes that we're going to bring up today.
For sure. And you know what he always tell people? That's the difference between greatness and seeing, you know, greatness just for a couple years. Like, when you can sustain greatness for 10, 12 years, that's what puts you in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. If you sustain greatness for just a couple of years, well, you're an old memory. But here at 5-2 Sports, we like to jog those old memories and remind people on who did what and who was the best during that time period.
It's the age-old Art Monk Hall of Fame question. Art Monk was a wide receiver, mostly for the Skins, I believe, Washington football team now, of course. Yep. But I'd have to look back. See, he may have played somewhere else during his career, but he was consistent, like 80 catches, 1,000 yards, 70 catches, 1,000 yards, his whole career. Like, he did it for more than 10 years. That's why he's up there on the all-time receiving list, but he was never in, like, the top five wide receivers in the NFL. But when you end up on that list at the very end, there's something to say about consistency over a long period of time.
Exactly. And, Woody, before we really jump right into it, I want to ask you. So, all-time history, not talking football, basketball, but just all things that's ever existed, when it comes to pairs or pairing or duos or tandems, whatever you want to call it, what's the most underrated pair or tandem or duo of all time? Or what's your most favorite duo? Salt and pepper, red beans and rice, what you got?
Andre Three Stacks and Big Boy.
Ah, I like it. Outkasts. Okay. Yeah. I dig that. I didn't think you would go there with it, but obviously your music.
Nah, they were the best. I own like 4 t-shirts, all the albums. Like, they were the peak of, like, we wouldn't have hip-hop today. Like, the weirdos in hip-hop without Outkast. They went out there and just made, their music still holds up today. Like, it's unbelievable. Sure.
Well, Woody, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm from the South, obviously. And to me, the best duo ever been created. You'll really like this one because I know you're a fan. Biscuits and gravy. Holla at you, boy.
Yo, that white sausage gravy? What?
Oh, man. So, without further ado, we'll go ahead and get started. We'll hop right into the news, and then we'll move along with Manny. I mean, it's pretty awesome. Even if you did have 724 catches, if you just had one and it was from Peyton Manning, that's pretty effing awesome, if you ask me.
Yeah, pretty great, right?
Next up, I just wanted to go over, Woody, we always give, we give quarterbacks love, we give the receivers love, we give edge rushers love, but we never really give the tight ends love.
So we got to take them to school.
So we got to take them to school, literally. For you guys who don't know, last week, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Greg Olsen all came together and they planned initially what was called the Tight End Summit. Now it's Tight End University. So basically, I want to say about 45 to 50 tight ends from all over the NFL come together in, I want to say Nashville, Tennessee is where they're,
yeah, I think
they're having the camp.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just fine tuning. You know, tight end stuff, blocking
and Greg Olsen
catching and route
running. Hell, best quote I heard in a long time.
He did. He did. You want to read it for him?
Yeah. Greg Olsen said, "We have to do the same shit that a $15 million left tackle has to do and run routes against the same guy that a $15 million wide receiver has to run routes against. And they're going to pay the tight end $7 million." That's real.
That's super real.
Yeah. It's wild, man. And it's literally the most underrated position to athleticism ratio in the NFL. Because these dudes tight end is the most athletic position in the NFL when it comes to size, speed, movement.
I don't know if I want to take it that far, but they have to be one of the most versatile players on the field without question.
Versatile is a better word.
Without question. I mean, look, you got to block edge rushers who are bigger and faster than you. And then on top of that, like Greg Olsen said, then you got to catch passes on safeties and corners that are more athletic and faster than you. So to be a tight end, you have to have a full skill set these days. And so Travis Kelce, Greg Olsen, they're coming together and they're training tight ends to, you know, hopefully raise that line from $7 million, get it up into double figures somewhere.
Let's do a quick tight end ranking check. So if we're gonna do top 10 tight ends in the NFL right now, how to sit, like, coming for the Dean's List. This is the Dean's List of Tight End University. Obviously, man. Travis Kelce one.
Travis Kelce one.
You taking Waller's Kittle two. Or Waller two? Waller. Kittle's obviously a better blocker, but Waller is. Unbelievable.
Kittle can't block for me if he's hurt on the sideline.
That's true. Best ability is availability. So Darren Waller, then George Kittle. Now, I think at the end of the year that this is going to switch up, but a lot of people would have Mark Andrews here. But I think it's going to be somebody like Dallas Goedert, Noah Fant, or TJ Hockenson. I love those dudes. They're going to move up because I think Andrews, that first year in that Baltimore offense, he came out and he was like by far their best target. But now people know the offense a little bit more, so he's not just getting as wide open as he did.
Yeah. I think, man, look, we have some young tight ends, and I think it's going to be multiple tight ends that are going to blossom. And I think we're going to see the game changing a little bit. I think we're going to see more tight ends really flirt with 1,000 yards. Yeah. But I think my two surprise tight ends for this year might be Cole Kmet over in Chicago, and I want to go Mike Gesicki. I like his situation in Miami.
If Noah Fant gets a quarterback, that's a top threat. Like, he could be number, he could move up to number two. I'm a big believer in that, man. There's a big man that can move fast. He's for like, sure. Algie Crumpler size. You remember Algie? For the Falcons? Yeah, he's a big boy, but they call it, like, tight end screens for this man. You remember 2 years ago, his rookie year, when I was like, it made me go, wow. They called a tight end screen from this man right outside the red zone, like the 24-yard line. and he's galloped up the middle in between people that just misjudged his speed. It was a beautiful run. Yeah. Logan Thomas, so look, shout out by the way too. Like,
shout out to Logan Thomas.
To go from quarterback to tight end and be this involved in an offense, and like they're running trick plays for him. That it's so impressive what he's done.
Yeah. So just for the listeners out there who are uninformed about tight end university, just some of the participants outside of Travis Kelce, George Kittle, and Greg Olsen, you have Darren Waller, Mark Andrews, Zach Ertz, your boy Woody, Evan Engram. Maybe they can teach him how to catch. Noah Fant, Logan Thomas, as you brought up. Mercedes Lewis, who's been in the league forever.
How nice he was in college, man. When he came out
from
UCLA.
Big Bomb Tanyan, TJ Hockenson, like it's Dawson Knox, Will Disley. So it's a lot of young tight ends. It's a lot of veteran tight ends. These guys are out here trying to get better and trying to get that payday. Next up, Woody. Kyler Murray says he expects big things from AJ Green. Do you trust Kyler?
Here's the thing. This is what I always say. You'll be surprised what an old dude has left when you got DeAndre Hopkins across from you. I'll leave it at that. He was the number one. He was going up against number one cornerbacks in Cincy last year, and we saw problems with a little bit of separation. He's starting to get old, but he ain't going up against number ones anymore.
Yeah, I know you've been on record. You've been a big fan of AJ Green.
Hall of Fame.
I know you don't really want to let him go. You don't want to let him go. You still want to hold on to him. He's 33.
I don't think he's going to go for 1,000 yards, but I could see like 800s and around 8 to 10 touchdowns on the top end.
Well, I'm going to say he doesn't sniff 600 yards this year, but that's just me personally. And I'm an AJ Green fan too. Used to be.
There's some real competition there at the youngins though, because Kirk, he's still got that deep speed. Like, let's not sleep on Kirk. He's not going to go quietly to the bench. And then they drafted Rondell Moore in the slot.
Yeah, so, I mean, hey, it's going to be some competition for balls there. I mean, you know, DeAndre's going to get his targets and his catches. But between A.J. Green, Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald still there. You said they just drafted Rondell Moore. You still got Andy Isabella. I mean, it's a deep wide receivers room right there.
And Andy Isabella's been like every deep head sleeper for like the last 5 years. A lot of people really like Andy Isabella.
Yeah. I think it's about time for us to get off of Andy Isabella now.
I agree.
I'd be intrigued with white boys with speed too, but then sometimes it doesn't really pan out the way you want it to.
That's how we became friends, right?
All right. Moving along.
Moving right along. Hey guys, it's your boy CSPN. You know I love watching and analyzing football. There's nothing that trumps the CSPN eye test, but let's be real. The numbers do matter. If you want to make sure the numbers match your eye test, give our sister's site a check at www.footballscout365.com. That's footballscout365.com. Has become my go-to source for situational football and scouting and analytics tools. Football Scout 365 offers advanced NFL, NFL draft, and fantasy football analysis to help you take advantage and take your game to the next level. So head on over to Football Scout 365. Join free today. Get some biscuits and gravy. I'm CSPN. We out.
Welcome to 5 Tool Trivia.
Oh man, when did I develop a list? You got me sounding like a mix between Mike Tyson and the warden off the longest yard.
Well, that's how I see you.
Thanks, Woody. I wish I would have got a harder trivia question if I was just gonna, you know, do me like that. But without further ado, we do have the 5-2 Sports trivia up, and it's a good one. It's an easy one, I think. What do you mean?
You got the king of trivia here today. They ain't here, so I'm a flex on it. Let's just point out who people be looking to for the answers when the trivia comes up.
There have only been two quarterback running back duos to individually rush for 1,000 yards in a single season. Who are they?
Okay.
I'll read it one more time.
I know one.
Two quarterback running back duos to individually rush for 1,000 yards in a single season. Who are they?
I know one is Warwick Dunn and Michael Vick.
Okay.
And Cam never rushed for 1,000 yards.
Mike Vick and Warwick Dunn is correct. They both ran for 1,000 yards back in 2006. So yeah, you got that one.
And Cam never rushed for 1,000 yards. He was close. Or maybe he did one year. I don't think he... I'm going to go with Lamar and Mark Ingram. No, Mark Ingram was like right at 900 yards. Oh! Was it Cam and D'Angelo?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, but I don't feel good about it.
Word. So, Mike Vick and Warwick Dunn, as I said, they both did it in 2006. And in 2019, Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram.
Ah, I thought Mark Ingram was like a few yards short. Dang.
He was actually, if I'm not mistaken, he was actually a few yards over. Like, just barely.
Like 1,006 or something like that. I knew it was close. I knew it was close.
He had a, in 2019, he rushed for 1,018 yards.
Yeah, man, Warwick Dunn and Mike Vick were the nastiest combo in Atlanta. Like, Warwick could bust it from anywhere on the field. Mike could bust it from anywhere on the field. Like, they were, people don't understand it. Madden, that year, they were the cheat code. Like, every single person, like, it was, you couldn't stop Mike Vick and Warwick Dunn as a combo of Madden that year.
Yeah, and, you know, one could almost argue that Warwick Dunn was a little bit before his time. Because, I mean, he was a smaller scat back who could run between the tackles. But in this open era now.
Imagine like, what he would have done in a spread shotgun offense. Oh my god!
It's
hell of a great guy too. Like when you look at all the humanitarian work he's done, Warwick Dunn is like one of the most for his community guys that's ever played in the NFL. I think he was raised by a single mom, and she passed, and he ended up having to raise a bunch of his siblings, and then he's built hundreds of homes for single mothers.
Oh, for sure.
From the ground up, yeah, he's a good man.
From there. So the first new segment we have coming up is the 2021 COVID protocols coming up for this upcoming season. And then you have, obviously, with just the vaccinations that's been getting passed out since, what, early February of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the unvaccinated guys. And Woody, I tell you, it's pretty insane how... It's pretty black and white between the vaccinated players and the unvaccinated players. Basically, if you're vaccinated, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. You can go to parties. You don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to quarantine when you're at high risk exposure. You can eat in public places, all kinds of stuff. If you're not vaccinated, you got to test every day. You got to wear masks everywhere, in the facility, during travel. You got to remain socially distant from players, fans, coaches. There's a 15-player weight limit in the weight room, all kinds of stuff. So,
let's be real. This is the NFL. This is the NFL blocking themselves from lawsuit. Because last year, I can't remember old dude's name, but the guy from the running back from Jacksonville, the young dude, he almost died. His NFL career is probably over. He had serious COVID complications. Jesus. So the fact is, they don't have these things in place. Like, I get it. Some people don't believe in the vaccine. I'm vaccinated. You're vaccinated. But these young athletes who,
I'm
like...
I'm going to sue your ass for HIPAA.
But these young athletes, they're looking at it as, like, my body is my temple. Like, this body I've curated and gotten myself to this point. Why would I put something in it when I feel like I'm... like the 1% of bodies on the earth. You know what I mean? I get the thought process, but you know, it's a matter of thinking about other players. Like it just some dudes.
I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you on that, Woody. I really do. But then what would be your response to the cats? Like, you know, Brian Dawkins, who, you know, been on record saying I'll die on this football field.
That's different. You're dying on your own choice. You know what I mean? Like, you chose to run into battle. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not in a hospital bed. Like, okay, I'm choosing to go on this ventilator.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Next
Did up, I ever tell you I met Brian Dawkins?
You met Brian Dawkins?
This is when I knew I was a young sports reporter, right? It was eighth grade. Brian Dawkins came to our school in Allentown, Pennsylvania, like outside of Philly. And he's talking to the whole school, right, in assembly. And I'm like the biggest football fan in the school. And so everyone's over there, like, he's doing question and answer after his little speech. Everyone's like, what's it like to be a football player? And like stupid stuff like that. And then he calls on me. I'm like, Brian, so in like week 11 last year, you were playing the Chargers and you didn't have an interception before this game. And you were looking for your first interception, and all of a sudden you jumped in front of a dude and you had jumped the ball. You were about to get your first interception out of nowhere. Troy Vincent jumped in front of you and made a diving one-handed interception when it would have been easy for you. What did you say to Troy after that play? And he just started laughing like, yo, who is this kid?
Good question.
He was just like, nah, I told him good job. I turned around and was like, motherfucker.
Oh, man. All right, next up. So I don't know if you guys remember former first-round pick by the Denver Broncos, Paxton Lynch, actually signed with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in the CFL. What a ball race. Yeah, what do you remember about Paxton Lynch?
I remember that I literally remember his draft profile like it was yesterday, because that was like John Elway's first, like, oh, this is my guy. And
yeah,
he became GM, yep. And we were like, oh, does John have the eye for the quarterback? Can the goat pick a goat? And Paxton Lynch, he was 6'5", lanky. He was in one of those early spread offenses in college that was just putting up huge numbers. And we were like, can he do it in the NFL? Does the spread translate? And honestly, at the time, it didn't. But it'd be interesting to see what Paxton would have done if he entered today's NFL. That's a little bit more spread out than when he actually came in the league.
Yeah, he's a rich man's Brock Osweiler.
And that, damn.
Why'd you gotta do that? Like, you know, what I'm very fortunate for here is back in 2016 in that draft, the Dallas Cowboys tried their darnest to trade up and go after Paxton.
I remember.
Jerry Jones was in love with him, and here we are. 5 years later, and he signed it with a CFL team. And John Elway.
They did the same thing with Patrick Ramsey, too.
Yep. John Elway, he's just, you know, swing and a miss over and over and over again when it comes to quarterbacks. So
he never wants to move up, get one. It makes no sense.
He doesn't. Didn't want to move up this year either.
Like, crazy. You throw it, you got a Pro Bowl defense, you have an offense that literally you're stacked at every single skill position. All you need is a quarterback. And your line's gotten better. You went and spent some money. Like, literally, you are losing your window year by year. It's unbelievable.
It is. I think if his name wasn't John Elway, and if there wasn't a guy named Peyton Manning who came and saved him, I don't think John Elway would still have the position that he has in Denver. I mean, he won a couple Super Bowls. And
he got stripped of player personnel, right? Now he's just like an overseer.
I hope so.
Yeah.
For Denver's sake. All right. 5-time Pro Bowler Demaryius Thomas has retired after 10 seasons. Now, he hasn't played in the last 2 seasons. I know he blew an Achilles and was getting, just significant wear and tear and injuries.
He had bad
in the latter part of his career. He did. Now, for you guys who remember Demaryius Thomas, he did make one of the greatest plays of his career, in Tim Tebow's career, and probably in Denver Broncos' recent history with the it was like an 80-yard bomb in overtime in the postseason versus the Steelers. You remember that, Woody?
I was on the phone with the Steelers fan, like a diehard Steelers fan, my buddy Nate Euler back in college. We were watching the game, and I was like, yo, can you believe that he took you guys to overtime? This is crazy. And then when he did that little shove off Ike Taylor when he caught that crossing route, Ike thought he had him, and he just turned on the Jets. He was fast for a big man.
Jets, yeah, he was. He was. He He was special. He was special. And, you know, when Demaryius Thomas, when he came into the league, that was the era of, like, the big physical receiver. You had Julio coming into his own around that time. You had Dez Bryant. You had A.J. Green. Those were the creme de la creme at that time. So it was all about the big physical receivers.
And the Plexico's career, too.
Yeah. Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was – so for his career, Demaryius Thomas had 724 catches, 9,763 yards, and 63 touchdowns. Oh, and he also caught balls from Peyton. All right, so let's jump right into it with our dynamic duos. Woody, I don't know really how you want to play this out, but I know we both did our research. We threw a lot of information here. So with the first dynamic duos, just because it fits today with just me and you being on the show and the rest of the guys not being here, you know, we like peanut butter and jelly, salt and pepper, biscuits
and gravy. Steak and fries.
Steak and fries, Hansel and Gretel. I mean, you name it.
We would be the ones, the sweet tooth, walk up to a candy house and start eating that.
No lie. Oh, man.
Hey, man, you try this house? This is delicious.
This is delicious.
Who's that spooky lady?
Why are you so hungry? I don't know. My meds do it to me. All right, so dynamic quarterback wide receiver tandems. First and foremost, got to get it out the way, but probably the greatest quarterback wide receiver tandem, at least in recent memory. But I would legitimately say this is probably the best duo in NFL history, and that's Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison.
It's hard to argue.
I mean, you can't really argue when they combined for 953 completions, 12,766 yards, and 112 touchdowns. And that's the most combined yards and touchdowns by a quarterback wide receiver tandem ever. So,
no, that's real.
I mean, you know, Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison in the early 2000s. Stickman Marvin Harrison from Syracuse. Low-key crazy, but we didn't know it.
Yeah, what happened with him in that Philly thing? I don't even remember. I remember that it was so bad to the point that no one ever talks about him anymore. Like, the NFL kind of blackballed him.
I'm going to say this. That's kind of the point in my life where I learned that, like, hey, if you a quiet motherfucker, you're probably crazy. Because, like, at first when I heard him, I'm like, no, not Marvin Harrison. He don't say anything.
That's something to do with a car wash, right?
Yeah, something.
But he killed somebody, but he argued like self-defense. Was that it?
I don't know, but he a free man right now, so.
If the gloves don't fit.
Straight up. Next up, man, Woody, I had to give Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski in there. Obviously, I said quarterback, wide receiver, but this is quarterback, pass catcher. 99 combined touchdowns, regular postseason, almost 8,000 yards between the two of them. And Tom Brady has a 123 passer rating when targeting Gronk.
So that's I mean, I personally don't think there's anyone who's been more physically dominant in the NFL. Maybe Aaron Donald at this point, and J.J. Watt, you could argue. But on the offensive side of the football field, the modern era, I don't think there's anyone who's been more physically dominant than Rob Gronkowski for that stretch. Couldn't stop him. He's just too big, too strong, too fast. And he's got hands. You're not supposed to have hands when you're that big, strong, and fast.
Nah, you don't. Especially, like, man, I remember all the way up to their last Super Bowl with New England. Like, New England would, like, split Gronk out wide.
That huge third down against the Rams. He split him out wide all alone on the island.
Yep.
And he just chucked it up there. He's like, you had your worst season you've ever had with me. I still have 100% faith. I'm going to chuck this up there. You're going to go get it.
And that's exactly what he did. Yeah.
And then we even saw it this year. He had two touchdowns in the Super Bowl this year. Old man Gronk.
Old man Gronk still putting up numbers.
Yeah, that's wild. Deepest tight end position in the NFL over there in Tampa Bay right now. Cameron Bray, O.J. Howard coming back.
Would you give them the nod over New England right now? Obviously, I mean, they haven't played a down together yet, but Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith.
That's because one of your guys is the GOAT.
No, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
The next dynamic quarterback wide receiver tandem we have is the great Jerry Rice, best receiver ever to lace him up. And this might be a shocker, but Steve Young.
I saw this. I was a little surprised. Now, you got to put a little asterisk underneath in that. You could have Joe there, too. But because him and Joe, they got a couple Super Bowls together. They were pretty.
Right. Pretty you know, when I did my research, this stat actually surprised me. I was surprised to see Steve Young and Jerry Rice to combine for 26 more touchdowns than Jerry Rice and Joe Montana did. So I was actually pretty surprised by that. But that's the reason I have Steve Young on here paired with Jerry Rice over Joe Montana. But look, Joe Montana and Jerry Rice could definitely be on this list as well.
Yeah, no, for real. But Steve Young, honestly, like, doesn't get the credit. His career started off a little bumpy because he went for the AFL, right? The American Football League first?
The USFL.
USFL, United States Football League. When they tried to create a competitive football league with the NFL. Only time that it ever even got hype. And the best player went over there. It was some wild stuff. But he was a Mormon, so he was a wild card. Yeah. And then he went to the Buccaneers, but this is back when the Bucs were like expansion franchise. So they were just getting destroyed. He was getting destroyed behind. They didn't have an expansion draft. They didn't have a line. He's just getting knocked around. Concussions. And then he came and he signed with San Fran and sat behind Joe for a year or two. And when he did that, when you sit beneath the great and you got real talent, he just, you know, perfect stars aligned.
And look, Woody, just to add to that, sometimes it's about opportunity. And Steve Young, as good as he became, if Joe Montana wouldn't have been dealing with injuries in the late 80s, early 90s, Steve Young quite possibly could have never even got that chance. So Joe Montana goes down, Steve Young comes in, and, you know, the offense doesn't lose a step. And now he's a Hall of Famer. So, kids, if you're listening, don't give up.
Right? Then this one's one of my favorites, this next one.
Oh, yeah? You want to run with it?
We got Big Ben and Antonio. Don't call me crazy, Brown.
Now, yeah, Antonio Brown. The best duo in, I don't know, the last decade, without question.
Without question. And people don't want it to be because Antonio Brown's so polarizing. That's why they don't talk about it. Antonio Brown, when it's all said and done, is a top five wide receiver all time. And it's not an argument. It's not an argument. People really need to put some respect on that little man's name.
You know, I won't argue that at all, Woody. I feel like other people will, but I like it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, Antonio Brown, what he did.
Look at him for his size, man. Like, if you're going to give Steve Smith all the credit in the world, you got to give it to Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and I'd much rather have Antonio Brown over Steve Smith. And I love Steve Smith.
Same here, man. Steve Smith is one of my favorite players of all time.
Like, the way Antonio Brown tracks the ball in the air, the way he used to go up and get the back shoulder throws from Big Ben, and then, you know, there was a time, I think it was Juju's rookie year, you know, Pittsburgh had a hell of a screen game. So, you know, you could throw it to AB and he would take it 20, 30, 40 yards. So, you know, this is probably, again.
You saw greatness, too, with Antonio Brown, to where you saw, like, a plethora of number two guys come and go with him. Like, other guys would come, they put up numbers, and when they leave, they stop. That's how much attention. And I feel it's the same way for Big Ben's career. Like, without Antonio Brown, Big Ben's like an average quarterback.
For sure. And look, to round out the honorable mention for the dynamic duo, and again, this was in no particular order. We just want to bring you some information so you guys can take it and run with it. The next time you're in a heated debate yeah, next time you're in a heated football debate, maybe, you know, we could give you some ammo for the next discussion that you have. So, you know, just listen. But to round out the quarterback wide receiver dynamic duos, honorable mention, we have Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson.
Maybe the funnest highlight reel to watch of all these guys. Jordy Nelson sure. made some of the most incredible catches you've ever seen.
And Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates.
Getting a little teared up here, man, my boy. Antonio! People don't understand. Antonio Gates. Like, so people have been dropping athletic players in the tight end position for years. We wouldn't see Logan Thomas transition to a tight end without Antonio Gates. Antonio Gates was a power forward on Kent State's basketball team. Did not play football. Came on as an unsigned free agent, a rookie free agent, and he's just so athletic. Phil brought him from the ground up. He's like, yo, stick him out there. I'll give him the ball.
Woody, I'm gonna ask you this. Give me a current quarterback wide receiver duo who could end up on this list when it's all said and done.
Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, that's a good one.
They came that's in at the same one. Time. It, like, the timeline is just added up perfectly. Tyreek Hill is one of the most explosive players we've ever seen touch a football. Like, just hands down. That one.
They're both still fairly young. I was actually going to go with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. And while I do like that one, they are a bit older than Tyreek Hill.
The timelines aren't supposed to match up like that. You're not supposed to come in the league at the same year with the GOAT. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's wild.
I agree. Well, look, let's move along to the dynamic duo backfields. Woody, I know you love your running backs. You love your guys that put the helmet on and just run straight into something else that's running at it 20 miles per hour.
Right. Your number one is who I base my whole, like, when I played peewee football all the way up and down when I stopped. Like, my number one player. Look, up top.
I'm going to let you know that, again, this isn't in order, so it isn't my number one, but I will say this, Woody, when I was doing the research, this went at the top because I'm like, oh, I know Woody will like this one.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Like, that, growing up, like, literally, these dudes, when they was lost, I loved the Bucks through Sean King, through Brad Johnson, like, Simeon Rice, Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, John Lynch, all those dudes were amazing. I love defense. I've always been a big defensive guy. But Mike Allstott, the fullback of all fullbacks, he's like the last halfback fullback guy that we're ever going to have. We're just never going to see that tweener guy anymore because he could block. Like a bowling ball, and he can run the ball.
Yeah, man. So if Woody hasn't given it away yet, first on this list we have Warrick Dunn and Mike Allstott. They did combine for 7 Pro Bowls while with Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. They totaled 2,300 yards from scrimmage as a duo for 3 consecutive seasons. So that's pretty impressive too. Warrick Dunn. Warrick Dunn was a quick scat back. Mike Allstott, get in the fourth quarter, you're tired. We're going to pound a rock. He's going to run you over. And then inside the 3, he was an automatic touchdown.
Mike Allstott, when he used to train to run through arm tackles, like I remember watching, they used to talk about this man every week. Every week you saw him on Fox Sports. Every week it was, Mike Allstott carries buses in the offseason. He used to strap himself to a bus with rope and run and carry a bus. That's how he used to train to run through tackles. The man was a freak.
Wow. That's wild. Next up on this list of dynamic duo running backs.
Before you leave Warrick Dunn, honestly, you could say he was almost held back by Mike Allstott because he was a little bit of a rhythm back. Like, we didn't see the best of Warrick Dunn until he went to Atlanta, and he was still great with Allstott. Yeah. But he didn't even hit his stride till he left the Buccaneers.
I agree. Real quick, Warrick Dunn from the University of. Yeah, there you go. It's actually Florida State University, but good guess. next up, again, doing my research, I went back, and these two are really on this list because of pedigree alone. On paper, you see these two and you're like, wow. Statistically, they didn't have the greatest seasons together, but that's Marcus Allen, Woody, that's your boy from USC.
Chad. I'm one of the most underrated running backs of all time.
And the greatest athlete we've probably ever seen in Bo Jackson. And again, man, both of these guys were physical specimens. Again, they made the list off just sheer pedigree. Their best season together accumulated just under 2,000 yards from scrimmage. So it's not a lot there statistically, but just as far as the athletes and the players these guys were individually, I think I had to bring them up on here.
No, for sure. Well, I got a little insider info on this combo. So my mom's used to be close with Marcus Allen in college.
How close?
Close. Like, they were part of the same friend group that would all go out all the time on the town. Like, go dance and stuff like that. Oh, you stop it. You stop it right now.
Just pick the right one.
But she, my dad was telling me that Marcus, when he came in the league, because Marcus Allen is my dad's favorite back ever, because he played there when my dad went to school, USC. He said...
It sounded like a cuckold story.
All right, now you're going too far.
Marcus Allen is my daddy.
I wish. No, I don't need my daddy. Marcus Allen, Al Davis didn't like Marcus Allen. He had out for Marcus Allen. He used to bench Marcus Allen and not play him. That's why his stats suffered those years with Bo Jackson. He wouldn't even mix it up. When Bo came back, he'd just sit Marcus. It was wild. Like, Al Davis just ruined, like, possibly the greatest tandem you ever see step on a football field together.
Marcus Allen did, though. Because, I mean, he was a good-looking dude. You think he went after Al's wife or something? I mean...
Man, Al had some weird... Al was borderline Donald Sterling-esque when it came to the brothers.
Nah, I wouldn't even say borderline. I think he saw him in the same context that Donald Sterling did, to be honest.
Yeah, not a great guy. I mean, look at his son's haircut. Like, you obviously see there's some weird stuff going on in that family.
Oh, man. All right, moving on.
Worst haircut of any NFL owner, too. Like, the bowl cut?
By far, without question. Next up. That is
Vegas, fucking weirdo.
The next dynamic duo that we have is the Carolina Panthers, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart.
D'Angelo Williams doesn't get enough credit. Man.
No, he doesn't.
Bad man running the ball.
Yep, Memphis. And you know what? Memphis has put some solid running backs into the league, you know, the last decade and a half, and especially the last 3 or 4 years. So
that's real. I mean, they're not a duo to waste too much time on, but like, they were both close to 1,000 yards each a couple seasons. Jonathan Stewart was one of the best power backs in the NFL at the time. He ended up getting some injuries because he was such a physical runner. He just run through people.
He was. And, you know, we talk so much about, like, Mike Davis's quads and A.J. Dillon's quads and Saquon's quads.
Jonathan Stewart was the OG, yeah.
Oh, man. He's OG quad.
Dick boy.
He was. D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart played together for 6 years, from 2008 to 2014. They peaked in 2009 when they both ran for more than 1,100 yards. They're the only two teammates today to accomplish this feat. So
that's pretty crazy. It's
pretty impressive.
Now, speaking of thick quads, this next duo, one of them on this next duo
here. Oh, yeah, this is another one. So the next duo, Fred Taylor. And
before you say the second one, like, Fred Taylor needs to get his shine, because Fred Taylor was a Pro Bowler in this league for like 5 years before.
Come on, Fragile Fred.
Yeah, Fred. When he put it together, he had a couple seasons that we got injured, but when he put it, he had like a 1,500 yard rushing season before Maurice Jones-Drew came in the league. Like, Fred Taylor on himself was an amazing back, and then they drafted another amazing back. And it turned into something else. So go ahead.
So look, let's go ahead and give Fred Taylor his flowers. Let's put him in the Hall of Fame. Because he said, okay, like, without question, he should have been in there 5 years ago. So let's make it happen. Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew, another quote-unquote quad father, I guess you can call him. Taylor passed the torch to Jones-Drew. But not after making a little noise together first. In 2006, both players surpassed 1,300 yards from scrimmage. After the 07 season, Fred Taylor began chasing rings with New England, and Maurice Jones-Drew became the guy in Jacksonville.
And Maurice Jones-Drew had a couple seasons when he was alone where it was like some of the best fantasy seasons we've ever seen by running back.
I'm glad you said that. I was just about to say that. You talking about Maurice Jones-Drew, as far as fantasy production, was a bit before his time, too, because it was like, hold up, he's catching how many passes out the backfield? And you know what? If we go back and look at the numbers, his touches weren't that efficient, but they were feeding them. And it wasn't his fault that his numbers weren't always efficient. That Jacksonville team was bad at times, but they really leaned on Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, Maurice Jones-Drew, he was the next best running back to he was actually the second best UCLA running back I ever saw growing up. He didn't translate as much to the NFL. He was actually
Deshaun Foster.
Yep. Deshaun Foster was nasty in college. He was a real toted back. I thought he was gonna be nasty in the NFL. He had some flashes, but he never really put it together. But in college, he was a real good back.
I thought you was about to bring up Ray Rice. I mean, since we all running backs.
Ray Rice with the Rutgers.
Yeah, I know, but he just him and Maurice Jones-Drew always reminded me of each other because they're little guys. Except, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew don't knock out girls in the elevator.
Yeah, Ray Rice had a better right hook. please boo me.
All right. Now, this is the last one that I have. I know, Woody, you got a couple more that you want to add. The honorable mentions. But the last one that I put on this list, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, back in 2017, probably one of the most successful backfields in NFL history. They were the first running backs ever to eclipse 1,500 scrimmage yards in a single season. They only played just 27 games together, but they combined for 3 Pro Bowls in 2 seasons. It was awesome watching them play. Sean Payton is unbelievable.
Yeah, they really met at the perfect time. Like they Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara are what they thought Tiki Barber and Ron Dayne was going to be when the Giants got Ron Dayne. Like when Thunder and Lightning was super hyped up. Like obviously Tiki Barber went on to have a great career and Ron Dayne kind of fell off. That's the amount of hype that they got. And Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, just perfect. It's like PB&J, ice cream and sprinkles. You know what I mean? It was just beautiful, beautiful football.
No, for sure.
Then we had two runners up here, and I'm gonna say the one that's real that you can't argue with, and then CJ is gonna absolutely roast me for the second one. But the first one, LaDainian Tomlinson and Michael Turner. Now, this one isn't put together completely like just their duos. Like, they were very good. Michael Turner was one of the most efficient backup running backs ever in the NFL for the stats that he put up. They weren't monster numbers because LaDainian Tomlinson, he was a bell cow. He legitimately, like, they leaned on him in that offense. He got the majority of the carries. But when Michael Turner left the San Diego Chargers and went to the Atlanta Falcons, we saw the talent that was there. This man was a touchdown machine, just a fantasy god. Like, top 5 fantasy back.
And bowling ball.
One of the most underrated backfields after hindsight.
Well, Woody, also, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be wrong, but wasn't Darren Sproles sharing the backfield with them too then?
I was going to drop that too. Darren Sproles was the third down back and kickoff return specialist.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a bad backfield. And then my final honorable mention, this one's going to get a little bit of hate. I'm prepared for CJ to push back. But as a youngin', all right. Now, this man was one of the most talented running backs in all of NFL football. But to start off his career, he had 4 injury seasons where he could only play like 2/3 of his games to start off his career. But the last 3 years, he really hit his stride. And then he had one of the best seasons in the NFL, and he walked away at the top of his peak at 28 years old. That's Robert Smith out of The Ohio State University and Leroy Horde, who is a bad man. These two, Robert Smith would usually miss a couple games, and Leroy Horde would step in and just battering ram. He was a giant of a man. He would just hit the hole. He'd carry three, four dudes with him into the end zone. They would combine for about 2,000 yards each every year, combined as a running duo. And Robert Smith could catch the ball out of the backfield, too. So you added all those all-purpose yards. Those were the years when the Vikings had Randy Moss and Chris Carter. That was the most fun offense to watch in the NFL that we'd ever seen at the time. And they really don't get shine because Robert Smith walked away at 28 years old to become a lawyer. After rushing for 1,500 yards, just decided, I'm going to retire. I did it. I had one of the best seasons anyone's ever had.
I don't hate it, Woody. I mean, Robert Smith was a hell of a player. Leroy Horde was a hell of a fullback. That's my only issue there. And I know they gave him some carries. I know they threw him some passes and stuff. So I don't absolutely hate it. Mm-hmm. I will say this, though. Leroy Horde and Big John Randall always felt like they were like brothers or cousins or something, with twins. Just always felt that way.
Yeah. Two
big, black, just bald-headed. I don't know. And we're back. And so, before we move over to the dynamic wide receiver duos, I'm going to ask you this, Woody, before we leave the running back duos. Is there a current backfield duo who could end up on this list when it's all said and done?
Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, hands down.
My man, that's a good one.
They just, like, literally what we saw last year, I think it's still kind of too fresh in everyone's head for hindsight. And we're waiting to see if they do it again. Because what we saw last year, it rivals the greats. Like those D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart years. It's a matter of circumstance. Because obviously, Kareem Hunt got himself in this situation by some abhorrent behavior, you know? Like, they said that the girl in question called him the N-word. And he made some choices that he's got to live with. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the Browns gave him a second chance. Brought him home, back to his hometown. Like, he's from the area. And they had just drafted Nick Chubb.
So he went to college at Toledo, I think.
Yeah. So literally, like, it was the perfect circumstance for them to get together. And when I say perfect circumstance, I mean just opportunity-wise, not obviously. Like, yeah. But those two are,
you know, massive. I think this tandem could rival D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart in terms of production, but as far as just like individual talent right now, I think this might be the most talented backfield tandem we've seen in quite a while.
Yeah.
Quite a while.
No, it's true. It's hard. I mean, let's be real. Like, Kareem Hunt was already an established Pro Bowler. You could argue top three back in fantasy for a couple years.
For sure.
And then he hit a bump in the road that made him an affordable backup.
Well, he didn't hit a bump.
Yeah, he made the bump.
He hit a white woman.
Made the bump.
All right. Last but not least, this is going to, I guess, be a bit rapid fire. We're not going to touch too in detail on
the dynamic. I feel like the wide receivers are more self-explanatory. Like, people remember.
No, they are.
Yeah.
So, Woody, just all off the top, what are some of the most dynamic wide receiver duos that you can remember?
I'm not looking at the list right now. So you see me on camera, hands up. I'm looking towards the camera. My favorite all time, by far, just because it was like that magical age for me. When I think it was like around fourth, fifth grade when they made that initial Super Bowl run and they were the greatest show on turf. Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. They were, you know, people sleep on Torrey, man. Like, Isaac in the Hall of Fame, he gets his due. Torrey does not get the due that he deserves. That man had wheels and hands. He could outrun a whole defense. He could catch the ball inside. His timing was perfect. Torrey Holt was a really good
wide receiver. A duo is really underrated. And I don't know why, because individually, I feel like they're underrated. But even when you pair them together as a duo, they're still underrated. And they put up some incredible numbers.
Like, Torrey Holt still made Mark Bulger look like a Pro Bowl quarterback. Like, wrap your mind around that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You got any other ones for me?
My favorites, Chad Johnson, TJ Houshmandzadeh. during those first Carson Palmer years before he got his knee blown out by they don't remember peak TJ Houshmandzadeh. Everyone remembers Ocho Cinco, but TJ Houshmandzadeh was a reception machine. We're talking like 110 receptions for like 1,200 yards for like a good four season stretch. The craziest thing was, a lot of people don't remember, they were college teammates. They were 1-2 at Oregon State, and then they came in the league. They were 1-2 in Cincinnati. So that's one of my favorite duos. I watched them all the way through college and the NFL blossom like that.
Yeah, that was a good one. I would say for me, put it like this, the first wide receiver tandem that I remember as a young fan was Ed McCaffrey and Rod Smith with the Denver Broncos. Like, that was just the first when I really started watching and paying attention to football and the players. That's like the first duo that I personally can remember.
I loved Ed McCaffrey, bro, because he was like the only elite white wide receiver when I was younger. So when you're out there running routes, everyone's like, all my friends are like, Randy, you know, Chris Carter, and I'm over here, Ed McCaffrey.
He's going to be the next Steve Largent.
Pretty much, man. Chris Collinsworth.
Chris Collinsworth. Oh, yeah, man. He had a couple of Pro Bowl seasons with
Chris Cincinnati. Collinsworth is a Hall of Fame wide receiver. He's a bad man. He's a bad man back in the day.
Just unfortunately, he played with Cincinnati.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they made the Super Bowl run with Boomer. They got their ass whooped by the 49ers, but, you know, it is what it is.
But they made it.
Yeah, totally.
Just some other dynamic duo wide receivers out there comes to mind. Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, obviously. That's an easy one. Chris Carter and Randy Moss. I don't know if you said them already or not, but that was a hell of a duo. In the early to mid-90s, you had Andre Reed and James Lofton. I'm actually surprised you didn't bring those guys up, because I know you're big fans there, Woody.
Yeah, that Buffalo tandem was nasty. But, I mean, one of my favorites we didn't bring up yet, Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell.
Yeah.
People don't remember. So the Jaguars came into the league, and they were an expansion franchise, but they were the first expansion franchise where they did an expansion draft. And so what an expansion draft is, for like people that have only been watching the NFL for a while, is the NFL, you can only choose to protect like a certain amount of players on your roster. I think it was like 40-something. And it's like 55-man rosters. So what teams would do was they would leave open like big contracts that they didn't want on their team anymore that the expansion team could pluck off of them. So what the Jaguars did was they got Tony Boselli, the all-pro left tackle, from UFC, and then they got Mark Brunell, the quarterback, as well. And they were really good from the jump because it was a combination of perfect timing, coaching, and good drafting coming together. And Jimmy Smith came out of pretty much like in obscurity, really, right? He went to Colorado, didn't he, Jimmy Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah, so he kind of came out of obscurity. And Keenan McCardle was same thing. But Keenan McCardell actually got some more shine when he left Jacksonville. He ended up playing successfully with Tampa Bay and San Diego for a while and had some really good seasons. But them as a duo, they were tough, man. Like, they really had some great seasons.
They did. And then just to round it out before we move on, a couple we still haven't named. But I know they're all, you know, in our minds, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, they had a very good, 4, 5, 6 years together. John Stallworth, Lynn Swann, they are the, what's the word I'm looking for? They're the foundation, the stalwarts of a wide receiver duo. I mean, we wouldn't even be talking wide receiver duos if it wasn't for Stallworth and Lynn Swann. And then Roddy White and a young Julio Jones. You know, that's one that we often forget. Roddy White had been having some incredible years. Yeah. And then Julio Jones basically came in and, you know, took over. And within 2-3 years, Roddy White was out of there. But they were an incredible tandem for a few years.
It's true. And then let's not talk about the OG. Obviously, Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin were amazing. But the OG, John Stallworth and Lynn Swann. Lynn Swann was like the original Randy Moss. Like he just was the bomber. Like Terry Bradshaw just closed his eyes and chuck it up there, and Lynn Swan come down with it 60 yards downfield. That he was a bad man. USC shout out, you know I'm a homer. And John Stallworth. Oh, go ahead.
Stallworth
was he was the chunk yardage guy. You know, like move the chains, 15 yards here, 15 yards there, 10 yards here, and they just were the perfect combo. That they were the backbone of that franchise. They had Franco Harris and Rocky Blair at running back. We didn't even get to mention them. And then just John Stallworth and Lynn Swan. They called Lynn Swan the Hail Mary God. Like, he was amazing.
So, last two, I have them on the list. And I have to say something before we move on. Because this is two of the top three receivers to ever play. But Jerry Rice and Terrell Owens, you know, in the late 90s with the 49ers.
And at the end of Jerry's career, Terrell, like, was just starting to make noise. Just how it was... That last year when it was Jerry, Terrell, and J.J. Stokes, that was one of the best trios of wide receivers in the NFL ever.
Yeah,
they were very, very good.
And then, speaking of trios, and the last dynamic duo or trio, or however you want to, you know, classify them, you got the Green Bay Packers installments of wide receivers. You had Donald Driver and Greg Jennings at one time, and then you had Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, so, I mean, it just keeps going. But look, Woody, give me
– how about this?
It's all set.
I give you three combos this year. This year. And you tell me which – in order, which ones you'd rather have. All right, so Justin Jefferson – and
Adam Thielen,
Mike Evans, and
Chris Godwin,
thank you. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, have to throw that out there for Brandon. Shout out B-Lun. And Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. What order are you taking them in? Oh, and just to throw it out there because they put up numbers like these guys, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson.
Okay, I mean, I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce first.
Have to.
Without question. And then who else did you give me?
DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin.
I'd probably
and then
go...
DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson.
Oh, man, that's a lot. All really, really good duos. I'm going with Kelce and Hill as my top. And then next, I'm probably going with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin just because
really?
Of the body of work. I mean, the body of work is there.
So is DK and Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, but I like that tandem, too. I also like Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, even though they
beat. It's tough.
Yeah. I mean, look, the best answer here, if you're a GM, is probably DK and Tyler Lockett because they're probably the youngest.
Yeah, split apart for sure.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on Robbie and DJ Moore this year with
Robbie
Sammy
and DJ
coming,
Moore.
Watch.
I like that. I got to see more, though. I got to see. This is the thing. I say this a lot for basketball and just for all sports. Your stars can put up numbers, but do the numbers correlate to wins? Yeah. Right? So DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, their talent, I like it. But can they do what they do? Will it correlate to wins at the end of the season? So and until that happens, they're at the bottom of that list.
And we didn't even mention, because we haven't seen yet, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones.
Yep. So, Woody, I'm going to segue to this. What current wide receiver duo could you see end up on this list when it's all said and done?
Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. And even more so because Travis Kelce is a tight end. Like, he's putting up top five wide receiver numbers as a tight end. Like, wrap your mind around. the guy's unbelievable.
All right, now, just to close out the show, I got one more for you, Woody. Give me your top duos in the NFL for this coming season. So, you know, it can be a projected. It could be guys who we saw kind of go ham as a duo last year. Any position.
I got to make Brandon proud of me here. because I love the talent of both these dudes, and I could see them putting up like 1,800 yards. It wouldn't surprise me. Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Like J.K. Dobbins, he's on the precipice of being a star in this league. I think we saw him last year at the end of the year really start to take off with Lamar. I think him, Lamar, and Dobbins might combine for like the most three players I've ever rushed in the NFL. And it might not be close.
Yeah, so no offense has ever had two running backs and a quarterback all rush for 1,000 yards. So a 1,000-yard trio, that's never happened. But I like that, Woody, because it is possible for it.
Yeah, you look at that offense, you're like, man, that could be something special. Like, that's something to watch.
But I'm going to tell you what. If you're a fantasy owner and you have Rashad Bateman or, you know, any of those Ravens receivers, you better hope Woody's like super wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's my biggest thing of like staying off Rashad Bateman. I think he's an amazing talent, but he looks incredible in college, but he's there to keep defenses honest, not to be like a true number one. Like, the basis of that offense is running the ball. But they need a dude that can move the chains. That's what he's there for, on those third downs when they get stifled. So I don't think he's there to put up huge numbers. You know what I mean?
I like it.
So who? What duo do you like going in this year? Besides Nick Chubb Browns running backs.
So I want everyone to be on the lookout for Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis in Buffalo. Buffalo had issues with running the ball last year. I expect them to have the same issues this year. Air it out a lot.
Cole up there? Your man Cole Beasley? He had a 1,000-yard season last year.
Diggs and Gabriel Davis.
Right,
and let's see. Another one. I want to look at Travis Etienne and James Robinson.
That's going to be a fun backfield.
But if Travis Etienne can be what Urban Meyer wants him to be, which is a dual threat pass catching back, I think that could be really exciting as well. That'll remind us a lot of those Fred Taylors and Maurice Jones-Drew days back in Jacksonville. So I mean, hey, I'm excited for the season. There's a lot of duos out there.
You're looking for a young duo too, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. That's gonna be a fun.
Oh yeah, I like that one. That's real. That's a really good one. So look, from you guys here at 5-2 Sports Podcast, check us out on Instagram at the number 5-2 Sports Podcast. Check us out on Facebook at the number 5-2 Sports Podcast. Look, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Shout out to MCash for the fire theme song and the outro. And just like every other great duo, Guns N' Roses, Fred and Barney, Cat and Mouse, Spaghetti and Meatballs,
Snacks and
Fish
Big
and
Boy.
Chips, Green Eggs and Ham, your boy CSPN and Woody. We out.
Yeah.
My mama says she know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights, man, I was stressing and finessing, had to hustle to acquire a check. Man, I'm just glad that I'm allowed to tell my story. What's a testimony without a